Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 18. We're going to read that verse. We're going to read through 25, okay? And I'm going to read these verses. The Bible says in verse 18, everybody found your spot, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be woman, called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now listen, I want you to understand something. I read a commentary and about that verse right there, and this is what that preacher said. He said, you know what Adam said right there? He said he looked at that woman and he said, hot diggity. You know what that means? That means, oh my goodness, I've never seen nothing like that. Hey, we'll get on. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked. Listen to this verse. This verse looks absolutely not even supposed to be there, but it's got a big meaning to it. The Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Oh my. Can I take this off this morning? I normally don't do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your many blessings. I pray, God, you would help us. Lord, I pray, God, you would just use us in this manner, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd get your glory out of this place, God. Lord, I pray, God, your people would be helped. God, we'd grow to be more thankful for the things that you have given us, God. Not overlook things. God, me, we could preach to the choir all day long, God. And I pray, God, you would help us here. You get all glory. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Valentine's Day and we know it. I don't believe in having to preach that if it's Valentine's Day, you ain't necessarily got to preach on a Valentine's Day message. Right? You ain't got to preach on, if it's Thanksgiving, you ain't got to be preaching on being thankful. We should preach that all year long. Amen? But anyways, it's Valentine's Day today, and it's a day of love is what this is considered as a day of. It's typically a day set out of the year that you go and you buy gifts for your wife. Typically, your wife. You go and buy gifts for your wife, and you buy flowers, and you buy chocolates, and you buy this, and you buy that. If y'all didn't do that, that's okay, because I didn't either. Amen. I bought a whole lot more than that. Amen. But anyways, we see this kind of stuff. That's just because I went to Tennessee, by the way. I just want y'all to know that. But anyways, we see this kind of stuff, and it's a day. It's ultimately a day to show love by gifts, right? That's typically what this day, but really has anybody ever heard of a match made in heaven? Anybody ever heard of that? I'm not talking about something specifically. I'm talking about the facts of, have you ever heard it was a match made in heaven talking about a marriage or something? Okay, I understand that, and I've heard it many times, but does a perfect marriage really exist? If yours does, you come up here and preach to me, because I need to know. Hey, the thing that I'm saying this morning is a perfect marriage doesn't exist, but here in our text we find a wedding that took place, right? We find a wedding that took place, and that wedding was perfected by the Creator. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. No, and there was no sin to that at all, friend. There was no sin upon this earth at that time. There was nothing in this earth at that time that had to do with sin. Y'all realize that, right? It was perfect. And that's why in verse 25 we see, and they were not ashamed. Listen, husband and wife nowadays may be able to stand naked in front of each other, but ain't nobody going to stand naked in front of anybody else. If you do, you weird. Simple. I mean, because the thing about it is that we're not going to do that kind of stuff because we're ashamed. Not maybe not ashamed of our body, but we're ashamed of the facts of we don't want them seeing what we got. Now listen, I'm not going to get intimate or anything this morning, so y'all can stick with me, okay? I'm just saying that the facts are is that this man, it was a perfect thing. Let me tell you what the let me tell you something about that time. You know that in that time that marriage rate was 100%. And listen, if you've been divorced in here, you might feel like I'm beating on you, but I'm not going to beat on you. Divorce rate is 0%. Zero at that time. This is the perfect wedding we're describing here, right? The perfect wedding we're describing here. Let me just say this. Rates say today that in 1 year, now y'all listening? Yeah, man. In 1 year, there is 1.2 million divorces. Y'all with me? 1.2 million. I'm not a mathematician, and I don't even think that's the word for what I'm trying to get there. But you know what the average of that is? Is that 1.8 out of every one marriage, 1.8 is the percentage of divorce rate. Out of every one marriage, there's 1.8 of them that get divorced. So you get what I'm saying? I'm talking about like out of all of the things that are going on in this life, there is that much of a percentage that's going on that's taking place and overturning. We know jobs overturn. We know all this kind of stuff overturns. But listen, marriage was made to stick together, right? And y'all know this morning that I come with a state of compassion, right? Y'all know I love y'all. And I'm not faulting anybody, but the facts are in the pudding here is the Bible had something there that it's very, very wrong that they say that there is one divorce for every 1.8 marriages. That's a statistic in America today. Isn't that crazy? Now, I mean, it doesn't even make it to every two, okay? It's 1.8. My God, help us. It's so far-fetched today that many of people, listen to me, that many of people are not even getting married, but rather just moving in together. Yeah, man. Listen, you know what that is? Against God's word. Simple. If you're living together before marriage, I love you, but it's wrong. Yeah, man, it's simple. Listen, the thing about it is that is called shacking up. That's what I call it in a country term. And God don't like it, friend. Yeah, man, God don't like it. The facts are in it is that, friend, marriage today is a far cry. It's a far cry from what God intended. A far cry. I'm talking about, hey, listen, and if y'all think anything different, it's y'all are sitting down there, I'm up here, but I ain't no different. Listen, we have problems in our marriage just like y'all have problems in y'all's. We still flesh. We still made out of the same clay, friend. And the thing about it is that a marriage is not what God's intended. Today I want to preach on this thought out of these few verses, and I'll probably be very fast and very through this thing. I don't know, but out of Genesis 2, 18 through 25, I seen there as I was reading that, and I was praying on it last night in Tennessee, God, send me something. I need something to preach in the morning, Lord. You hadn't sent me nothing all week long. God, this is a little bit late for me. Normally I have something on my heart by Thursday. God, it's a little late. I need something. Here we are, 2.5 hours away from the house, and here it is, 11:30 at night, and I ain't got nothing. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, God, you go out and send it, which I've come to the house of God before and not had anything, but God's got it. Just trust the Lord. But God sent me this. A match made in heaven. This is the only match that you'll ever find that was made in heaven, by the way. It ain't necessarily heaven, but what you would call it at that point, because it was perfected by Christ, is paradise. It was a place that there was no sin whatsoever. It was a place that even the wolf and the lamb could lay together. Sounds a whole lot like heaven to me, doesn't it? The wolf and the lamb could lay together because no sin. And so we see a match made in heaven. God revealed some amazing things to me about this last night, about His intentions concerning a marriage. I know it's Valentine's Day. Y'all listen to me. I promise you'll get help. I got some help from it. But these will go a long ways. Let's look at it here this morning about a match made in heaven. Number one, I see in verse 18 where the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." So we see the Lord's intention in this, right? The Lord's intention is He looked on this and the Lord had concern, right? The Lord had concern. The Garden of Eden was a place of amazing beauty. It was. It was a place of amazing beauty. It was a perfect place where God, man, and animals were in perfect peace and harmony. It was. It was even the Lord. Now listen, we can find over here in the book of Genesis in chapter number 1, where it says there in verse 4, "And God saw the light that it was good." We read in verse 10 where the Bible says, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He the seas. And God saw that it was good." That's Bible. And then we find in verse 12 where the Bible says, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was it in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord ruled over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good." So we find many times in Scriptures, verse 21, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." We can turn over and read in verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth and after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 31, the Bible says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." That's what He says, it was very good. "In the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And by the way, that is, somebody better say amen when I say, that's six literal days. Amen. If God says six, He means six. Amen. Simple. If God said He created the earth in 7 days, He created it in 7 days. You say, "Preacher, how can you describe that?" Well, God said He could tear the temple down and build it back in 3 days, and He did it. So, I mean, He said, and He literally used 3 days, by the way. He didn't use 3,000 years like some people say. People say, "Well, 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1 day in heaven." In the first heaven, I understand that. But you're talking about God's dwelling there, friend. Place where God dwells. People crazy, man. People crazy. I deal with this kind of stuff all the time. I mean, it's in the family. I deal with this kind of stuff where people think all this kind of stuff. But the point that I'm making here is what God created, God saw as good. But you know that God created everything, but God did not create sin. Man created sin. And when man created sin, can I tell you something? God did not think it was good. You prove that, preacher. That's why He sent His Son to die. That's why hell is not created for sin and sinners. It's not. It's really not. You're going to go there if you're lost this morning. But the facts about it is that God had to send His Son because of the fall of Adam. We find through Scriptures there, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He said, "Let there be light." And by the way, He created the light before He even created the sun and the moon. I mean, I'm just saying, here's another thought for you. Look in verse 28 of chapter 1. What does it say He created there in that verse? Now, we're just doing a little commentary here. Can somebody tell me what He said that He created in that verse? Chapter 1, by the way. What did He create, James? Read 27. Read 27, sorry. What did he create? That's, what else did he create? He created male and female. Now I know this is weird preaching, but y'all following me? He created male and female. Where'd that other female go? It says he created he, them, is what the Bible says. The end of that verse. But last time I checked, is that we find on farther that he created Eve in the next chapter. Somebody dig into that and see what you can find about it, okay? That's all we'll go from that. You dig in that and see what you can find about it. It's just some thoughts that I'm bringing out to you about the creation of God. God did all of this stuff. God come into the earth. He had an intention. He had the intention to create Adam as somebody that he could talk to in the heat of the day. He created Adam as that. He created all the beast of the fields, all the sea creatures. He created every single one of those things. And then he come to us and he created us in his image. I don't care where they are. I don't care who they are. God created us in his image. You say everybody looks like God? I'm not going to get into that. But the facts about it is that God created it all and he said it's good. And then he said in verse, that last verse there, 31, it's very good. Has anybody ever done much of a study over the creation? You should. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And when we jump into this, I'm trying to go slow because I want you to understand everything I'm getting out. But God's intention here, God's intention was to create a perfect place. But we know that before, we find in the book of Isaiah, that before all of this even took place, you say, how did it take place before? The Bible you hold in your hand is not in chronological order. Let me just say that. Okay? Genesis and Exodus were not necessarily all the first books written. Everybody with me this morning? Okay, I'm just saying that some of Psalms was written in the time frame of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. All I'm saying is that the Bible's not chronologically ordered, but we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 14 that Satan fell from earth, heaven, right? O Lucifer, how art thou fallen? He fell from heaven. He come down, and here he is showing up as an imperfect person in a perfect place. Right? So does that make it mean that Satan, you saying Satan can show up to church? He's sitting on most Baptist pews today. Yeah, man, hey, the thing about it is that he's here and he shows up and it does some destroying to God's intention. God's intention was that he was going to send, bring Adam down here, and he seen a concern in the fact that all of this stuff was great. It was good. It was very good. He seen that he created all of this stuff, and it was so good. But in verse 18, God said there, he said simple facts, and the Lord God said, it is not good. Is that right? Is that Bible? Chapter 2, verse 18. He said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Man, y'all going to be walking out of here like this. I just want y'all to know this, men. Okay? All right. I'm just letting y'all know. The facts are in it is that God put this, and God did not see it as good for a man to be alone. That Adam, he did not see it as good that Adam didn't have a helpmeet. Now listen, let me just explain something to you ones. I know there's a few of you in here that ain't married or ain't got a spouse or whatever the situation is. So let me just go ahead and wipe that out of slate real quick, okay? Not everyone gets married. You say, how? Well, Jesus didn't get married. I don't care what they say, by the way. Amen. And Paul didn't either. And Paul said that if you're gonna lust after the flesh, get married. But you can be like me and do the works of God. If God don't want you to get married, let me just give you some advice. The reason God don't want you to get married is because God has a better plan. See, how can God have a better plan than marriage and kids? Listen, God used Paul to write 13 books in the New Testament. God's got some plans, friend. Everybody agree in here that God's got plans for lives? Everybody's lives that's in here, God's got the plan for it. God's got it all. It's already blueprinted out. God's got it. And by the way, whether you like His plan or not, it's going to happen His way. Yeah, man, but let me just say is that God had concern for Adam. And He said, he needs to help me. Then we go on and we see the Lord's conclusion. After God had come into that place and God had surveyed everything out in the situation, He said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. Not just a helper, a companion. Not just a helper. You say it says help. No, a companion. Hey, we'll preach to the choir all day long, friend. I'm in this thing all day if God will let me. The thing about it is that, to be honest, women make up what we men lack. Yeah, man. Listen, I've heard a lot of things. I heard an amen from a woman there that ain't said amen the whole time. And listen, y'all don't do that either. I'm just kidding. Y'all go on worship the Lord. The facts about it is this. They actually say that both parts of the brain of a woman can work at the same time. But only one part of the man's brain can work at the same time. I believe that's right. Now listen, don't y'all look at y'all's husbands. I'll get on y'all tonight if y'all see that, okay? If I see that, I'll get on y'all tonight. I'll preach on the wife. Listen, the thing about it is that a woman has what a man often lacks. A woman can see things from a different view. Listen, they might be hard-headed and they might not know some things. They might make life heck at the house sometimes. But the thing about it is that a woman is a woman and a man is a man. God had it designed that way, and they were supposed to come together as helpers and companions. Hey, you try to think by yourself. Listen, we don't have deacons in this church, but we do have an advisory committee. If I had to think everything alone, which sometimes I feel like I have to, but if I had to think every single thing alone, it'd be real hard. Real hard. That's why we have helpers, right? That's why we have people who step in. We can learn over the book of Acts, chapter number 7, and find that the man of God, it says, we shouldn't have to leave the word of God to serve tables. I'm just getting in it. I'm saying that there was a conclusion here. And that conclusion is that God's going to send Adam a helpmeet. He's going to send him a helpmeet. And they are, let me just get on you for just a minute, women, okay? Man is the head. But let's back up a second. Let's say this. You are a companion to him. You are. But here's the thing. You are the completement of him. And you are a complement to him.
Amen.
That's a godly woman. She's supposed to compliment her husband. I'm not saying, oh, he looks so good. No, I'm talking about when people see him, they say, man, he's got a good wife. Man, he's got a good wife. Hey, if I can look at these men of God out there, some of the men that have been such a help in my ministry, and when I look at them, I say, man, they got a good woman. They got a good wife. And I'm not lusting after them. I'm not lusting after that woman and wanting that woman. I'm looking at them and seeing God in them. God, help us in this day to have a woman who compliments us, to have a woman who completes us. Amen, because that's God's way, by the way. Amen. That's God's way of things. And to have a woman who doesn't hold things and who doesn't point the gun and say, hey, you listen to me. Because that's not God's way. Can I get an amen from somebody else? Listen, I'm preaching Bible. You turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 22 through 33, you'll find it all. Okay? Now this is just Bible. God had the conclusion. He had the concern. He had the intention. And His intention was to send him a helpmeet. He wanted to send him a helpmeet. Then we find in verse 19 where the Bible says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Some people say, I don't know, I didn't look it up, I didn't try to find this out, but some people say that actually a woman has more and more rib than a man does. I don't know if that's true. It'd be pretty cool if it was, though, so you can look that up. I mean, but the thing about the point that I'm making here is that there was the Lord's intention, and then we find in this there was the Lord's intervention. There was the Lord's intervention. We see in verse 19, verse 20, a desire shaped by God, right? A desire shaped by God, where it simply says there that God sent Adam out there to name all the beasts of the field, to name this and to name that, and to name them all, and whatever he named them is what it was. So deer, cow, pig, whatever Adam named them. That's what they were, right? So what the Bible tells us there, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam, it was not found out. It was a desire shaped by God. In these verses, God has the whole animal kingdom. The whole animal kingdom, as you know it. The whole animal kingdom passed before Adam. Listen, let me just say this real quick. So maybe help you in your life when somebody's asking you about Noah's Ark and this and that and so on and so on. There was not 50 different brands of cats, okay? Everybody with me? There wasn't 100 different things of dogs. No, at that time there was the one. And all the rest of them spawned off. So I just wanted you to know that the animal kingdom here was standing before Adam. Every one of them. They stood before Adam and they passed before Adam and Adam gave them names. And I believe this could be, now listen, this is just my thought. It's a little lesson you can learn. I believe that this could be to awaken a desire in Adam for companionship. I believe that's what the thought there is to awaken a desire for Adam for companionship. I'm sure that Adam noticed each one of them had a mate. Y'all with me? I'm sure that Adam noticed that each one of those pigs have a mate, and this had a mate, and every single one of those animals had a mate. And maybe in that time, he realized, I'm the only creature that's alone. I'm the only one that's alone. You know, it's a normal feeling to long for companionship. Amen. It's a normal feeling to long for that. But I believe this way was a way for Adam. And Adam, it was a way for Adam to long for companionship. Now, it sounds weird, seems weird, all that kind of stuff. But the thing about it is it's something that God shaped together. Right? It's a desire from Adam that was shaped together by God. Thank God he listens to our desires. Yeah, man, it's somewhere in the book of Psalms. I couldn't tell you where. 37, actually, in verse 4. Thank you, Lord. 37 and verse 4, where the Bible says God honors the desires of your heart. You can find it. God honors those. God sees that. And then we see a desire satisfied by God. Not only was it shaped by God, but it was satisfied by God. Y'all listening to me? It was satisfied by God. Here's our problem in today's nation, okay? Here's our problem is that we have these desires in us and we set out to satisfy them on our own. Yeah, man. Listen, let me tell you something this morning. God will use a divorced person. You divorced people can say amen. Hey, God will use a divorced person inside the church. You just can't be a pastor or a deacon or a preacher. Right? Scripture. But God doesn't shun them from the church. Thank God He doesn't shun them from the church, because that'd make up a lot of churches in America today. Hey, amen, listen. But the thing about it here, I believe that the reason divorce happens so much today is because nobody wants to wait on what God has for them. They want to go find it themselves. God help us. God help us. You know, I know that this is tough preaching. Listen to me. I know that it is, but here we find that we have that problem. We have the problem and we set out to satisfy ourselves on our own and in our own time. In our own time, and we short-circuit the plan of God. I'm not saying that the person after that divorce will be the right one for God, because it may be. God may be gracious enough to still send you the person that He had planned for you. Praise God for that, amen. Praise God that He's still God who loves us. Amen. The thing about it is that we short-circuit the plan of God. And can I just tell you this morning? If kids, listen to me. Look up here at me, kids. Whenever you go to searching for a woman or a man, girls, y'all going to be searching for a man is the point that I'm making here, and you boys are going to be searching for a woman. Amen. This is what you need to do. Okay? Here's what you need to do. There's three things that involved in providing this help meet for Adam that I noticed. Number one, it involves sleep. Right? You say, you saying sleep? When it came time for God's plan, kids, keep looking up here at me. When it came times for God's plan, this is what happened. Adam was put to sleep while God did His work. While God did His work, Adam was put to sleep. And, you know, in other words, Adam did not choose his own. Amen. And can I just go ahead and add this in there for you daddies? You will not find anywhere in Scripture, as far as I'm concerned, where the daughter found their own husband either. Or the boy. You know who found them? The daddy. The daddy put them with their sons with the woman, and the daddy put their daughters with a man. That's all Bible, friend. It's all Bible. You say, that's unpopular. It sure is unpopular. But if I ever have a daughter, you can guarantee it's going to be something similar to that. Yep. Amen. And Elisha. Amen. You say, your parents didn't do it. Don't you worry about what my parents did. I'm not my parents. Amen. Here's the thing. Is that the daddy, why is that even popular? Why is that even Bible? Because the daddy is the leader of the home. But I think it's good, well, and dandy if the mother steps in and talks to that little girl that them boys are talking to. And just sits down and says, gives her a little bit of advice and says, sweetie, this is my boy. And I promise you, you do anything wrong with it, something's going to be wrong with you. Listen, now I heard a story not long ago about this man who actually stuck with that. He's a preacher man. He stuck with that, and he found he was going to find his daughter a man. Black preacher, his name's Evie Hill. And he said that this one man, this one boy, showed up to his house one day. Come knocking on the door. He said, I walked up to the door. I opened the door. And he said, I'm here to see your daughter. He said, who said? He said, your daughter. He said, I didn't say, and you ain't here to see my daughter. Bye. He closed the door. You say, that's rude. He said, this is what happened. He said, we went on. He said, and I finally married my daughter to a man. He said, and my daughter, before all that took place, come up to me and said, Daddy, I don't want, if I ever marry anybody, I promise you I'm not marrying anybody like you. You're a chauvinist. You're this and that and this and that. And she ran off. And he said, okay. He said, so I finally married my daughter. He said, and I, from what my daughter said, am the president of the chauvinistic society. He said, and I married her to the vice president of the chauvinist society. He said, so the point that I'm making here, he said, is that if a godly dad is leading the home, it's okay to find a godly man like daddy. Somebody say amen right there. If he's a godly man and he's living by that book, they shouldn't be anything different than daddy. Amen. I'm telling you, because if he's living by the book, then you better find someone like him. Amen. If he ain't living by the book, you know what I say about it? Better get a different one. I'm just saying. The book is where we stand. And can I tell you something this morning? The book is our standards. Yeah. Hey. Amen. The Bible says it. The Bible means it. And the Bible's right whether we like it or not. Amen. Amen. And God said that this involved sleep at this time. Now, I don't know what the thing about it is, but kids, the best thing I'm saying to you is that go ahead and put that looking for a spouse to sleep and let God handle it. Amen. Go ahead and put that to sleep and let God handle it and trust the Lord to bring that person into your life His time and His way. His time and His way. I know it's hard. You just live by faith. I believe we find over there in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Jesus said, the righteous live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Excuse me. The just shall live by faith. If you just, live by faith. God's got it, right? Yeah. Amen. God's got a plan. Y'all got plenty of kids, so this is a perfect time to preach this too. Amen. It involves sleep. What else did it involve? It involves surgery. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Here's the thing. When Adam was asleep, God took out a rib and made woman. Right? Here's the lesson you can learn from that. Finding a mate can be painful. Surgery is always painful. Finding a mate can be painful. Everybody agree with that? It's painful, but can I just go ahead and give you some advice, friend who does not have a marriage or whatever here? It's painful after too. Amen. Somebody agree with that? There's painful times afterwards too. When she don't want to do what you want her to do or vice versa, it's going to be a painful time, friend. Simple. Simple. And I like what Tim Valore said. The biggest fuss that we have in this day and this hour is where we going to go eat. Amen. Y'all with me? Can I give you men some advice? If you want to be the head of the household, start where you're going to eat. You say, what you mean, preacher? If she says you pick, pick.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Listen, it might seem a little crazy, but just do it. And then she's not going to like what you pick. She's going to learn to not say you pick. Because you're going to pick. Amen. I've done it a few times, Mackenzie. Most times she picks. But if she say, I pick, guess what I do? I pick. I go eat where I want to eat. And when I get there, sometimes she's not happy with it. And you can tell just by the facial expressions. Oh, this is fine. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, right. Listen, can I give you women some advice? If a man comes up to you and says this. Listen, I've been in a year of marriage now. I know a little bit, okay? Oh, bear with me. Listen, the thing about it is that if you come up to a woman and say, you okay, babe? And she said, I'm fine. She ain't fine. That's the advice to you men, and then I'm going to give some advice to you women. That's still a lie. If you ain't fine, and you say you fine, it's a lie. Simple. You say it's a small lie. No, 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 no. A lie is a lie. You cannot wrap it around with bacon and make it any better. It's a lie. So we see the facts about it is that we need to get in this thing and say, hey, God, you sent her to me or me to her, and I know that it's going to be painful, but God, I'm here and I need some help. I need some help. We must trust in the Lord in hard times. We must fight for our marriages. We must fight for them. We must fight for them. I know that it ain't easy to fight for a marriage. You say, you've only been married a year. Don't you worry about it. There's been times. Fight for your marriage. Trust in the Lord to sew some things up. He had surgery. God said he sewed him back up. Trust the Lord in sewing those things back up. Yeah, man, trust the Lord and do it because he's a pretty good sewer, obviously. Yeah, man, he pulled out a rib of Adam, and I don't know if Adam had any pain at all. I'm just saying. Trust the Lord. It involved, it was a desire that was shaped. It was a desire that was satisfied by God. It involved sleep. It involved surgery. But it also involved symbolism. I said I was going to be short, but I told you I didn't know either, by the way. It involved symbolism. Now, what you mean by that? Well, notice where the woman came from. I'm not downing you women. You listen to me. Notice where the woman came from. The side of the man, right? Painting a picture about a marriage that we often fail to see. What do you mean? Well, by his side, under his arm, close to his heart to love. Y'all with me? That's the type of the rib. That's what it is. So we see the facts, the Lord's intention, the Lord's intervention. Number 3, and I'm done. Shouldn't take me long. Verse 23, the Bible says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, he, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we see the intention, the intervention, and then we see the invention. So we see the invention. Now, what you mean by that? You know, it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. It was amazing that God created a woman out of a rib, right? Amazing. Seen this thing the other day. Y'all can at least laugh at this. I seen this thing the other day. It said that it's amazing how God created a rib into a loudspeaker. Hey, now y'all get what I'm saying? I'm just laughing around. Mackenzie said, ha, ha, ha. Listen, the thing about it is that God invented this thing, but that's not what I'm speaking of. I'm not speaking of the invention of a woman. I'm speaking the invention, the institution of marriage that God invented that day. The institution of marriage. Now the first marriage ceremony, if you will, took place in this text. And I, on this Valentine's Day, I believe we can see two little aspects that we will help us in our marriage and in our relationships and marriages and so on and so on. Two little aspects. Number one, we see in verse 23 where the Bible says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. So we see marriage involves a response. Huh? Marriage involves a response. When Adam awoke, the first thing that he saw was a beautiful, brand new, hot diggity, as I said earlier, person standing in front of him. A perfect woman right there with him. And what Adam was saying here is here was one that he didn't want to live without. Here's one, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. We're one now. We know that New Testament speaks of two becoming one as well. And so we're one now. And the thing about it was, just he said, I don't want to live without him, without her. I'm compatible with this person. Remember, it's the only other person that looked like him, right? Amen. I don't know, but amen. The thing about it is, it's compatible with this person, one who could carry out the Lord's directive, if you will. What do you mean? Carry out the Lord's directive. I see in verse 28 of chapter 1, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's the directive from God. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply there. Here's a lesson there, though. There must be heartfelt love and sure knowledge that this is the one that God created for me. Must be. One man for one woman, right? In this world, there's one man for one woman. God created one man for one woman. Marriage is not a light thing. It's not a light thing as we probably all take it. It's something that should be prayed over before it happens. It's something that should be observed, looked at before it happens. And it involves a response, if you will. It involves a response, if it will. And you know, that is to say yes, if you will. That's to say yes to the one that God handpicked for you. And that's what Adam done here. When he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, he's basically saying, yes, absolutely. This sure is. This is the one God has for me, and I'm going to take it. It's the one I want. It involves a response. Marriage involves responsibility. Now, this verse tells us here, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So he shall leave his parents and cleave to his wife. Is that right? It's a two-step process here. It's a two-step process, which I believe many could learn from. Number one, we see to leave, right? To leave. To leave means to place every other relationship besides that of God at a lower priority. We preaching to the choir now. Amen. Anybody been there? Hey, I'm just saying, as a lower priority, then the marriage relationship should be the top thing underneath of Christ. It should be. Every activity, listen to me, every activity must take a back seat. You say, what do you mean every activity? You say, what do you mean every activity? I'm talking about hobbies. I'm talking about businesses. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about careers. I'm talking about sports. I'm talking about all of that. Backseat. Backseat. Now, outside of God, it's ultimately the backseat. Has to be. You see, number two, not only leave, but we see to cleave, right? So what Scripture says, right? Everybody with me? To cleave, and I want you to know what this word means. It means to stick to. It means to be bound together by some strong bond. That's marriage. To bound together by some strong bond. This is not instant, by the way. Amen. Anybody who's been married for a little while know that? It's not an instant thing, but it's rather a work in process for life. It's a working process for life. God help me with this and all of this kind of stuff. It's a hard task, friend. It's a hard task. Marriage isn't, listen, this is, I believe, what today's society looks at marriage. Y'all agree with me right here after I say this. I believe today's society looks at it and say, well, try this, and if it don't work, I'll find another. I believe that's today's society. I believe that's the modern mindset for things. But can I just say this, since this is the Old Testament, and some people would say, well, the Old Testament don't matter to us people in the New Testament church. By the way, there ain't no such thing as a New Testament church. I just want to say that. It's always been a church. Now, New Testament, Old Testament, that kind of stuff. Only thing you ain't got to do is sacrifice a lamb because the lamb's already been slaughtered.
Amen.
So the thing about it is, though, is that the New Testament meaning to this in the New Testament of the word cleave, it means differently from the other one, more stronger. It means to stick like glue, to be welded together so the two can't separate without serious damage. That's what it means. It's exactly what it means. If today's people live this way, I would transform. It would transform this nation. It would transform this nation. Divorce wouldn't be an option, friend. Amen. Divorce wouldn't be an option. Now, I know that the Bible gives you two reasons to be okay in divorce. I don't know if anybody else knows that in here. But adultery and beating are two reasons you can subsequently leave that relationship scripturally. Is that right? Anybody know any of that? It's exactly what it says. Now, I'm not absolutely not saying anything about divorcing, but the Bible does talk about it. I think it's in one of the four Gospels. And so what I'm saying here is divorce wouldn't be an option if we would cleave and leave and do all that kind of stuff. I know this is hard for some who have been divorced. I know that in here this morning. I know I can feel the tightness from it. I know that is hard right there, but please don't think I have no compassion over it. Okay? Please don't think I have no compassion on us. God help us to cleave, though. God help us to leave, and God help us to cleave. If you would, stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to get somebody up here to play, whoever it may be. Here's the thing. This was what was on my heart this morning. I don't know who needs it. But it's exactly what the Lord would have for us on this Valentine's Day. And the thoughts about the wonders of God and a match made in heaven. You know, if we're honest, could we lay our marriage? Listen to me. Everybody listening to me. If we're honest this morning, could any of us in here lay our marriage down beside this, what we just read, and say that it's, and lay it down there and say that it's a match made in heaven? Could anybody say that it's a match made in heaven? If you do say that to me, I'm going to call you a liar to your face. Simple. That's what I'm going to call you, because that's just me. And I don't believe there's anybody perfect in here besides the one who's lingering around here. And man, let me tell you something, is that, I mean, I'm preaching to me too, but could you just ask yourself this morning, are there some leaving and cleaving needed? I'm talking about leaving my parents and cleaving to my wife. It'd do you good this morning to go ahead and grab your wife's hand, husband, and pull her to the altar. I'm just saying. It'd do you good this morning to do that, but I say this on this Valentine's Day, to tell them you love them. I'm talking to you husbands. Now listen, the thing about it is that it'd do good to grab them up, your Valentine, and bring them to the altar on this Sunday morning, and to come down and ask God to fix what needs fixing. And if it's weakness, I ask Him to get it stronger. If it's you searching for somebody, say, hey, I want to search for somebody, and I want to say, I'm looking for the one that God wants for me. I'm looking for that person. If you're looking for a mate, come trust God. Give it to Him. Say, hey, God, I know that You can send me who You want to send me, and I'm going to fall asleep on it and let You take it. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, the thing about it is, just come trust God to send you one. If you think your spouse in here is lost, grab him by the hand and say, hey, you come on up here. Let's bring you to the altar. I don't think we got anybody in here like that. But remember, God has a plan for singles. God has a plan for the married. And it certainly is something that God's going to have to put together. If it's a match made in heaven, oh my, God can do it. God can do it.